This podcast on Sports360AZ.com is brought to you by your Valley Hyundai dealers. We appreciate the Valley Hyundai dealers and their support.
Now, the Brad Sesmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network studios.
Thanks for being with us. A lot on coaches today. I think it's appropriate this week to talk in depth about coaches. You have Todd Graham up against it. If he doesn't beat the U of A on Saturday, I believe he's gone. You have Jerome Sowers at NAU, who was fired after the second game. And then last night, he's back. He's Lazarus. He's rising from the dead. I mean, come on. What's going on at NAU? How does this happen? And then Scooter Molander, one of the top high school coaches in Arizona for a long, long time, just quits or was blown out, depending on who you believe, yesterday at Brophy. You've got Brophy, Hamilton, potentially ASU, and potentially the Cardinals if Bruce decides to retire, all coming open here in the next 6-7 weeks. It's really an interesting time. Peter King is with us today. Peter will join us to talk about Larry Fitzgerald signing a one-year extension to stay with the Cardinals, but not talking about if he's going to play next season. And I've not had a conversation with Peter, and of course, he's a Hall of Fame voter and one of the smartest guys around the NFL. So I'm going to talk with Peter about the comparison of Larry Fitzgerald and Jerry Rice and who would he take if he had to choose one over the other. So we're going to have that debate conversation with Peter King. We'll talk a little bit about Jacksonville, too. Jacksonville comes here this Sunday with Calais Campbell, and of course the Cardinal quarterback Blaine Gabbert was the 10th pick by the Jaguars like 6 years ago. So there's some connections there. Otherwise, I'm not talking about Jacksonville on the show very much. Andre Ellington getting blown out, that was not a surprise. I think, however that is dressed up, that comes down to me as, you better not give up, and we've seen this story here for the last 3, 4, 5 years. It's time has come. So yesterday when that happened, it was, to me, a blip. Eric Bledsoe tomorrow night is in the Valley, and we'll talk about that a little bit as the show moves along today, too. We'll have Talk to the Lopes. Paul Coro will be with us from Grand Canyon University, gculopes.com. Every week we talk Grand Canyon University athletics. Every week on the show, GCU through Paul Coro and then all their coaches. Plenty on Dan Marley's squad. I watched them play last night. And very impressed with what they're all about. Then the next 2 weeks, they've got University of San Diego at home this Saturday. And then 2 weeks from today, they play St. John's. Very much looking forward to that. But let's get through some of the items that are on my mind this morning, brought to you by the good people at Sagicor Now. Sagicor, guys, you've got to protect what matters most. Get into your life insurance or get life insurance. Sagicor Now, the good people at Sagicor, that's the place to go. Make sure that your finances are all taken care of with Sagicor Now. Appreciate Sagicor and their support. Eric, where do you want me to go today on this? Are you what are you passionate about today? Because I could do Todd Graham stuff for hours and hours. I'm going to do some of it. Where do you want me to? Where are you at today?
Well, there really is nothing. There's nothing huge that has happened over the last 24 hours. I mean, you say there is no slow time in sports, but it is Thanksgiving week. We do have the teacup coming up between two teams that are okay, but nationally no one cares about this game.
Wow.
The Cardinals are 4-6.
Not nice. It's not nice.
Would you disagree with me?
Todd said yesterday.
Do you remember our conversation on the air yesterday where we talked about how this game is buried on the Pac-12 network going head-to-head against Alabama-Auburn?
You know, I brought that up to a longtime booster this morning. They're not amused by that. Graham said yesterday, I don't have anything to say about that. So, which is typical for Todd.
I thought that was about his future.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
About whether he's going to be back or not.
I see.
So, I think the Jerome Sauer story is the most interesting.
Bizarre.
Of everything that's going on.
So bizarre.
I mean, think about it.
We don't want you. Oh, no, wait. We do want you.
No, wait. The athletic director that blew you out quit and goes, it's like this whole story, while Todd's deal, I think it's going to take care of itself this week. Because if they lose, I don't see any way Todd Graham stays as coach at Arizona State. And that's too bad. The more that I process this story through the year, the more that I process it, the more I come down on the side that I don't think that they should make a change. I really don't. But I can easily make the argument for making a change. This is not one of those where it's like, he's got to stay. I just feel as though if you give this guy a little bit longer, the problem is on many, many fronts, it comes down to the old guard that just judges success by if they beat the U of A or not, which I don't know. They're not going to a bowl game. They're not anything great. What happened to the win over Washington for some of you? For some of you, the win over Washington was like, oh, it's the greatest thing ever. No, it was just a couple of missed field goals.
But this is sort of where we thought ASU would be, right?
I think when you and I started the year, yeah.
7 wins?
When we started the year, there were those that didn't think they were going to win more than 3, that they weren't going to beat Oregon and they weren't going to beat Washington. And then you look back on it and you say, well, okay, they won those games, but those teams really aren't all that. They're not the greatest teams.
Much like the entire conference really isn't all that this year.
No, I agree with you. I do agree with you on that. I felt that Todd, in my mind, I'm trying to weigh the academic side of it. I just am. And maybe that's because now I'm teaching, twice a week for an hour. And I do think there is something to be said for GPAs. You can make that argument, though, that Gene Boyd is the MVP of all that. Gene is the one that oversees all the academic side under Coach Graham. And you could replace the coach, but still have the infrastructure in place with a guy like Gene. You could do that. But as this has played out, it just feels like there's too big of a segment that is not willing to give him a break if he doesn't win the game this week. And my response to those people is, yeah, well, what if they fumble the ball 3 times and throw 2 picks and they win 16-14 on a last-second field goal? That's why it's crazy just to come down to what happens in the W and the L. They could have an ugly win, and you should still make a change. Like somebody was telling me that on the field – after the Oregon State game, Ray Anderson was yelling at Todd Graham, one more, baby, one more. What does that mean? Does that mean one more win? Is that just simply, yeah, go out and win next week? Is it simply, you better win one more? We don't know.
That's really interesting.
The Jerome Sowers deal, though, Eric. So you and I, and this is in our backyard, I personally happen to like Jerome Sowers. He's come on this show. When we've gone up to NAU, he has been hospitable to us. That's not the defining factor of whether a coach should be fired or a coach should stay, okay? Just because you're polite doesn't mean that the main course isn't good and you've got to go find a new cook. And I think it's just it comes across as dysfunctional with what's going on at NAU. It just does. It was dysfunctional for them to fire him after 2 games and then say, stay on as head coach. If you're going to fire somebody, you're not going to keep them there for around the kids for 10 more weeks. But NAU decided to do that. And then the athletic director leaves there and heads out to another program 2 weeks ago. They go on this run. I sense it. You sensed it. So we both said, let's put Jerome on the air because it's a really interesting story that, you know what, since they fired him, he's won 6 games in a row. They have things bizarre like Case Cookus getting thrown out of a game for targeting a quarterback. That happened this year at NAU. And so yesterday when the news came out, and I texted him on Friday about, just best of luck and what's going on once the AD quit. And he said, my focus is on the next game at hand. They didn't win, but they're still in the playoffs. They're hosting San Diego on Saturday. So then yesterday they turn around and they rehire him, or they just say, no, you know what? We've had second thoughts. They don't have a sitting athletic director. So this comes down to the school president. When they go out to hire an athletic director, they're going to say to that athletic director, yeah, come up here, please, and run this program. By the way, we fired this coach and then we brought him back. So the new AD is going to be sitting there looking like, what exactly do I have here? It's just odd. All right, Peter King is next. The Monday Morning Quarterback, that is on the other side. I'm Brad Sussmat, sports360az.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports, our television show tonight on Fox Sports Arizona. Brad Sussmat, Football AZ, that is tonight. We are self-funded, meaning what you're about to see is the reason we are on the air. We appreciate those who sponsor us. Time now to check in with Peter King, the Monday Morning Quarterback, MMQB, the MMQB podcast with Peter King. Make sure you download that. It is must listen week in and week out. Peter's Skyping on in from his home in New York City. There's plenty to get to here, so let's start with Larry Fitzgerald and Jerry Rice comparisons and all of that. I think it's time to have that conversation, Peter, based on Larry signing a one-year deal to stay with the Cardinals, but he's not going to talk about it, which leaves open the speculation of if Carson leaves, if Bruce leaves. But is this Larry looking at Rice's record? This has been talked about before, but I have not visited with you on it. Do you think he can get his record?
I don't think so, and I don't think that's what this is about. I've always felt that, you know, Larry Fitzgerald, as much as anybody that I've covered, first of all, wants to have a great career. But in addition to having that career, I think he wants to leave his footprints in the NFL sand forever. And with the NFL having, you know, coming up on its 100-year anniversary, they're going to select an all-time team. Mm-hmm. And Larry has always been one of those guys, and I mean always. He's not playing for stats at all. But I do believe that Larry Fitzgerald wants to be highly regarded by history and will be highly regarded by history. And so to me, when I heard this, my first reaction was, my first thought was, first of all, Larry must feel pretty good. Mm-hmm. And also, I'll tell you a quick story, Brad. When I went to Scotland in July to do a story for NBC on Larry Fitzgerald playing the Old Course, which we ran a couple of weeks ago on the NBC pregame show before the Seattle-Arizona game, the one thing that struck me is that Larry was traveling with you know, a trainer, a guy he worked with on the road and who worked him out, that no matter where he was, no matter where he went, Larry Fitzgerald took care of his physical self and worked hard to prepare for training camp and to prepare for the season. So, I mean, what I think about when I think of Larry Fitzgerald is somebody who is physically prepared. And when I saw this the other day, I said to myself, man, he must be feeling good. Because if he were feeling broken down and just trying to make his way through the year, I don't think he would have signed for another year. But I get the feeling that he must feel good, and playing another year must be the kind of thing that to him, if you feel good, there's no reason not to. A, there's no reason not to play. B, there's no reason to you know, continue toward your goal of being one of the best receivers of all time. So that's what hit me about it.
If I said to you, Peter, you've got to choose one, Rice or Fitz, how do you go about it? Different eras, right? You've sat in the hall.
I guess it's a different era, but it's not really. You know, the game hasn't really changed massively between, you know, in the last 30 years. It's changed. It's different, but they're really similar receivers, big receivers, physical receivers, probably both of whom have deceiving speed. And obviously Jerry Rice was fortunate to be on a great, great team that played in a lot of postseason games. But on the other hand, I mean, Larry Fitzgerald, to me, where he distances himself from the pack is with he had two extremely good postseasons, you know, particularly the Super Bowl run postseason for the Cardinals. And so, I mean, I would pick Rice over Larry, which I don't think would be a great surprise. But I would say this, Larry Fitzgerald would be in my all-time top four. If I don't know if I'll be a voter, usually the Hall of Fame has a panel that selects the all-time team. So if I have a vote, and they asked me to pick four receivers all time, Larry Fitzgerald will be one of those four.
And to me, Peter, I look at it and say, if there wasn't that, I don't want to use the term donut hole, but there was a bit of a donut hole in terms of the quarterback. Not a bit, there was. Between Kurt and Carson, we had to go through Derek Anderson out here and Max Hall.
What about Max Hall?
John Skelton. I mean, and Larry's just trying to not get killed during those years because they're throwing balls in the 602 area code that were meant.
At least he didn't have to play with Brock Osweiler.
No, that's true. there you go. Now that's a good call. He's got that going for him. Let's go to quarterbacks then, and Jacksonville comes to Arizona this week. Jacksonville, I think, a surprise team to some this year, maybe not to you. There are Cardinal ties. Calais Campbell this year, 11.5 sacks coming here. And then the Cardinals starting a former first-round pick of the Jaguars and Blaine Gabbert. What do you make out of the Jags, Peter?
You know, it's amazing that they can play well enough to really overcome, you know, playing Blake Bortles at quarterback. It's one of the reasons why you know, I'm still a little skeptical of the Jaguars because at some point your quarterback's going to have to make some plays and a bunch of plays to beat teams like New England or to beat a team like Philadelphia. And I just don't see Bortles doing that. But I guess the biggest thing I would say is that defense allows Jacksonville to be able to make an awful lot of mistakes on offense because the defense is going to turn plays into points. So as of right now, Jacksonville, I think, is going to win its division. I think that's pretty clear. They're going to win their division. And then you ask yourself the question, what track will they get on in the playoffs?
Right.
Because the playoffs in the AFC might be not all that tough. But if Jacksonville, let's say, is the third seed and New England is two, it's going to be a pretty short playoff run for Jacksonville because I can't see them going to New England and winning in January.
Yeah, and with that, that'll be as much of Jacksonville as I'll talk to you about probably for years. Hey, I know that time is short for you. You got a lot going on with the holidays. I'll let you go off that. I appreciate your time as always every week, Peter. Thanks.
Thanks so much, Brad. Have a great Thanksgiving. You and all your friends, your family, and all your viewers. Thank you.
Thanks very much. There's Peter King, the Monday Morning Quarterback. He joins us each week, Skyping on in from his home in New York City. Good stuff there from Peter. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic. AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sussmat. All right. Outside of this week being the Territorial Cup week and Todd Graham coaching for his job, if he loses, I think he's fired. If he wins, he's fine. The other story that's going on here in the state, and I think it's now time to get to this point with the Cardinals, is they're not going to the playoffs. We know this. They're 4-6. They're heading nowhere fast. There's not been a buzz around this team for much of this season. I think that it's gotten stale. That's my own view. This roster, they gave it a try. The window probably started closing about a year and a half ago, I'd say before the 2016 season. There just was a feel of, okay, this is about as far as this thing is going to get us. And let's redo and let's go a different direction. My view has been they should have addressed the young quarterback a couple of years ago. They have not. And now we're left with Blaine Gabbert. And Drew Stanton's a very nice guy, but Drew Stanton has not been the answer. Blaine Gabbert, I felt like, showed more confidence. So at 4-6, if we were to play the game, Eric, you can jump on this one if you want. Jacksonville this Sunday, you actually decided you wanted it. I was going to go to the game, but you want it. I got that one as a loss. You?
Probably a loss.
So they're 4-7.
I love when we play this game.
Rams the following week.
Loss.
Loss. That game's at home. 4-8.
The Rams always play well in Glendale.
Tennessee at home.
That's probably a win. Tennessee's an okay team, but nothing great.
Nothing great. All right. So 5 wins. At Washington.
Loss.
Home to the Giants on Christmas Eve. You're not seriously going to take that game. I'll take that game.
Yeah, I don't really want that game.
No, you don't want that game.
That is definitely a win. The Giants are horrible.
The
Giants will be so disinterested to get on a plane and fly all the way across the country day before Christmas Eve to play a Christmas Eve game against the Cardinals.
And then they play at Seattle on New Year's Eve.
That's a loss.
That's a loss. So we're talking six wins. You've got them beating Tennessee, and you've got them beating the Giants.
Man, the season is almost over.
It's almost over. Well, it's over for them a few weeks ago. So that puts them at six wins.
The ultimately worst place you want to be. You either want to be really, really good or like 1-15. You do not want to be one of those 5-11, 6-10, 7-9 teams.
Okay, so if we were to go through this, the Dolphins have four wins. I think they're going to get a couple of more. The Jets have four wins. They got to figure out a way to get a few more. The Browns aren't going to win a game.
Nope.
The Colts have three wins.
They might win another game or two.
The Texans have four wins. They'll win a game or two. The Broncos only have three wins. I can't see them winning games. The Giants only have two wins. What I'm getting at here is, and the Bears have three wins, but the Bears have Mitchell Trubisky, who I actually thought did some nice things over the weekend. They just have a kicker that Tom Brenneman's call.
I didn't see
Holy Moses.
I'm sure it was a good call and a not very good kick.
He missed the kick by 20 yards. Easy. And Tom just let out a Holy Moses on the air. It was awesome. And the 49ers have one win.
And they have a quarterback.
And they have a quarterback. And that quarterback signed.
But that's the beauty of a bad team that already thinks they have a quarterback.
That's true.
Because there are all those teams below them that need quarterbacks.
So they'll trade up.
If you're the 49ers, look what John Lynch did last year in the draft. Yeah. Genius.
So, and then you have Tampa Bay with four wins, but Jameis Winston is
a knucklehead, but he is the quarterback.
He is the quarterback. Green Bay sitting there at 5-5. If they continue in a free fall, and Brett has not looked the part, let's just call it as we see it. And Aaron Rodgers is going to come back, but the Packers may be sitting there saying, you know, well, our future is not what we thought it would be. My point in this is Baker Mayfield needs to be brought into this discussion, as do the other quarterbacks. So I'm bringing Baker Mayfield up because Baker Mayfield had his captaincy stripped of him, and he made an obscene gesture towards the fans over on Kansas's sideline, the Kansas players. He grabbed his crotch. He cried about it yesterday. He acted like a punky QB. And I bring punky QB was Jim McMahon's nickname. I'm kind of okay with having an edge to you. I know we're in this day and age of political correctness to like the nth degree. And you're going to say, well, Brad, you talk so much about being role models and so on and so forth. The role model starts at home. It starts with me. And guess what? I screw up as a dad. Hard to believe, right? So when you have a player like Baker Mayfield who clearly screwed up, but as he was screwing up, Gus Johnson was doing the play-by-play and Joel Klatt was doing the color, and they both immediately went into NFL GMs do not want to see this type of behavior. Do you hold that against a guy like Baker Mayfield when it comes draft time? The Cardinals have already shown with Tyrann Mathieu and Robert Kimdiche that they're willing to take guys that have an edge to them. You just are not going to cross the line when it comes to domestic violence. There is no line to cross. It just can't happen. So I don't think that would factor in with the Cardinals at all. But when they go to the combine in February, and when they go to the individual workouts, and if guys like, and Peter told me last week on the air that he's hearing Sam Darnold's not going to come out. Steve Palazzolo at Pro Football Focus said he's hearing that Sam Darnold's not going to come out. It's easy to say that in November. Eventually, it gets around to the inner circle of the kid, the parents, and they start throwing the dollars. Maybe it's a different situation. But as you go through it with the Cardinals, you want them to lose now. I know that sounds crazy to you. It's me going back on the tanking Suns who couldn't figure it out last year. Josh Jackson's a nice player. Lonzo Ball would have put people in the seats, would have brought some buzz. Yeah, his shot's not good. Doesn't matter. Magic Johnson's shot wasn't good. Lots of players' shots aren't good when they're 20 years of age. So anybody who's going to sit here and just make fun of Lonzo Ball, it's just because you hate. That's it. It's the only thing. So on the quarterback side for the Cardinals, I think we're at that point where finishing 4-12 is in the best interest of the organization. It just is. They're not going to make the playoffs. Michael's going to be upset. When Michael gets upset, players' heads roll. Front offices change. I'm not saying this is going to be it for Steve Keim or Bruce Arians, but if they go 4-12 or 6-10, it doesn't matter. the organization has tried to build themselves up in the community as we've got it all figured out and we've got it all together. And we're going to give you sustainability. They've had their moments. They've had their stretches. But as I mentioned there to Peter, big donut hole when it came to quarterback and a lot of lean seasons. They've got some great pieces in place. But do you go take a quarterback? Do you aim for Baker Mayfield? Do you aim to be top five? Because to Eric's point, if you're sitting there at 6-10 and you're drafting 11th, really, what are you going to get?
I mean, you could get a quarterback, yeah. But is it the quarterback that you really want? Like, the Eagles really wanted Carson Wentz.
Which had people saying, who's Carson Wentz? He's at North Dakota State. He's not going to be able to get anything done. And they were dead flat wrong. The Eagles were dead flat right.
Yeah. Like, oh, yeah, Deshaun Watson didn't play in a pro-style offense at Clemson. He's probably not good enough. You know, there's questions about his ability, his accuracy on throws, things like that, blah, blah, blah. Well, I mean, those two teams paid the price, and you have to applaud them because they have their future quarterback, their present and future quarterbacks.
If Bruce retires, which I believe he's going to, there's too many people in the NFL that are saying the word's out. It's been circulating that Bruce is going to leave at the end of the year. But if Bruce leaves at the end of the year, Peter's stance is Carson should stay and mentor. I think fans here would be willing to accept new face, new coach. Todd Bowles, Todd Haley would be right there at the top, and then you just work your way down to other names that may come available. And then bring the quarterback in, and you just push reset for the next 2 years. And maybe it happens sooner. But you look at Philadelphia and what they did as a blueprint. We've had enough of Chip Kelly. Chip Kelly says, I'm out. We're out. We're all going to part ways. We're going to get rid of LeSean McCoy. We're going to push a total reset on this thing. And they push a total reset, and what's happened? They are set up to be really good, not just kind of good, not like last-second miracle plays to win playoff games good, like really good, stomp through teams. We'll see in the postseason when they play Minnesota. My point is just lose, baby. Just lose. Don't go down the path of getting the 11th or 13th or 15th pick. It's already been a disappointing year. Steve's going to feel heat from Michael. That's just how it is with the Cardinals. No matter how they... I don't have to be there every day to know that. That's been the Cardinals forever. When they don't make the playoffs and they go through lean times, it's not just smooth sailing. So, and there's picks here that you have to look at and say, is Robert Kimdiche ever going to come out of his sleep? The pick right now doesn't look good at all in any way, shape, or form. I don't care what other teams miss on. So, you know, cheer all you want and get excited and all that stuff. It's like the game last week at Houston. There was nobody there. There was really just nobody there. Shoot it low. Make sure we don't show empty seats. We don't want the league to look bad. No, there's nobody there.
Put Rondae Barber on the call, calling Larry Fitzgerald, Larry Johnson.
Larry Johnson, game. Three times, right?
At least.
Is it three times? I don't know how that happens. Did somebody talk to him about it? He had Andre Johnson in his head. He had to have had Andre Johnson in his head.
You can't confuse those two. You just can't. You can't. There is only one Larry Fitzgerald.
Like, I understand that.
You just don't make that mistake.
I understand that. You fire him at halftime.
And if I'm the producer and it happens once, I say, hey, just FYI, you called Larry Fitzgerald, Larry Johnson. Please don't let that happen again.
Do you use please? Do you even say please?
Depends on who you are and your personality.
Second time, would you do that? Third time?
It should never come to that.
I know. I had people texting me about it. I don't know how that happens. So anyways, that's the thing of looking ahead towards this weekend and then tying in the quarterback. If Baker Mayfield gets marked down for that, or there's a character question with Baker Mayfield, we're going to see that tape played over and over and over again at the combine. Are you sure you want to put your money into it? Guys do make mistakes. Where do you draw the line and say, you know what, we're not going to take a guy versus it was a one-time deal? And yeah, he's had other stuff. Eric brought it up. He's had stuff, ran away from police. he is an immature guy. Would the Cardinals take that risk? Or is he already off the board? Is there already a red check next to his name? He's not coming here. We are not considering him. Well, you have some guys on your team that you did consider with more than one check against them. Easily. One other thing before we take a break, and then we'll talk to the Lopes. Break up the Coyotes. For those of you that say, you know, Brad, when are you going to do a Talk to the Coyotes segment? I don't know. If they get to 10 games of wins, we might consider it. They've won 3 in a row. Break them up. Clayton Keller has become like this fresh face in Phoenix sports that nobody knows about, nobody sees because he's on a hockey team that nobody's watching. And he's really good. I've been paying attention. They win at Toronto, and they didn't just win, they crushed them. When was the last time we had a 3-game winning streak by the hockey team? And Rick Tocchet is grinding away on these guys. I love this story. Nobody's going to talk about it. I get it. Todd Graham's future is the biggest thing going, but let's just make sure that you don't not pay attention to them. All right? Talk to the Lopes. Paul Coro is next. I'm Brad Sussmat. Time now for Talk to the Lopes. Every week we talk Grand Canyon University athletics, not just basketball. Of course, basketball right in the front and center, but across all platforms at GCU, all the sports. You've heard from several of the coaches. Really enjoy this segment, GCULopes.com, for great content around Grand Canyon. We appreciate their partnership. Paul Coro is with us this week, the GCU Lopes insider. Do you want insider, editor? Insider sounds so formal. You want insider? Do you want editor? Do you want chief of staff? What do you want when I introduce you?
Brad's friend.
Brad's friend, Paul Coro, is with us. And by the way, he writes. I like that. Here's Brad's friend, Paul Coro. Good to hear your voice. I watched last night's game against Norfolk State. I thought the law firm of Braun and Benson was really good last night. But the big men for Dan, Paul, just in these first few weeks, I'm starting to see them come along. I really like Kerwin Smith last night and Blumberg. So let's just talk a little bit about what you see from basketball and then get into the bigs.
Yeah, I'm glad Kerwin Smith stood out to you too, because I thought he was a big underrated factor in last night's game. It's not one of those guys where you look at the box score and say, wow, he really made a difference. But right. From the moment he was the sixth guy off the bench. That's how deep Dan Marley's team is now, that he's going 11 deep and a half while the game's competitive. And Kerwin Smith went in there when they were actually trailing Norfolk State by a point with 8 minutes to go. And by the end of the half, I think they were up 15. And he was in there with the starters. He just has that length and activity to change shots, protect the rim, but finish. You know, he's not a guy that tries to play outside himself. He's not trying to go out to the three-point line. He just does a lot of the yeoman's work. But they have a lot of big guys now that can change the scope of a game. Roberts Blumberg's probably had his breakthrough game, and we've talked about him in the past that, you know, he's a really skilled freshman from Latvia, and Dan's been sticking with him in the starting lineup knowing that he's going to be good. And last night was really the first big glimmer of that. He went 14-8-6, which is pretty solid for any freshman in Division I basketball.
They won by 25 over Norfolk State. They have USD from the West Coast Conference. It's coming Saturday night at home. Paul Coro with us. And in 2 weeks, it is their matchup with St. John's. What has stood out to you? Forget about what Dan says. Just no offense to Dan, but what has stood out to you? You're a veteran basketball eye in these first few weeks.
I'd say their defense. I don't know that we knew their defense was going to be this good this soon. And I think a lot of that stems from not only the emphasis that Dan Marley and Todd Lee put on that every day in practice, but when they do have this depth that they've never had before as a staff, now people are playing hard, fighting for minutes all the time, because everybody wants their piece of the pie. And, you know, last night was a night when the bench wasn't as good, you know, as it had been before. So he went heavier with the starts, but it also enabled a chance for a guy like Kerwin Smith. But they held the first three opponents to 33% shooting over those first three games. Last night, Norfolk State was shooting 30% deep into the second half, and then they had their one let up where he was disappointed with how they defended for a time there when they had a big lead. So that broke that string. But for the most part, they get after it, and they're long, and they can switch because they got a lot of guys that can do that. And he's got lineups off the bench that really change the scope of the game with how hard they defend. When you bring a guy in like Jared Martin, who was a starter last year, maybe, you know, out of position a little bit as a four because he's only about 6'6", 6'7". Now he's playing a wing off the bench and defending. He really sets the tone for that whole unit.
Talk to the Lopes with Paul Coro, GCULopes.com. You can check out their content. Great stuff there. I mentioned St. John's 2 weeks from tonight in downtown Phoenix. Have you put a little eye on them? And is there a feel about what this matchup's going to look like?
Well, I think it's just going to be a lot of fun because they go down to Talking Stick Resort Arena. They're going to bring some of the Havocs down there. You know, Marley, it's his old home where he's had a lot of fame. You got a couple of great basketball players now leading programs, and Dan Marley and Chris Mullen. So all of that, you know, and being on national television,
yep.
It's just more of a plane. You know, they're going to see a lot of good teams. You know, you mentioned USD. USD's not a game to look past.
No.
Saturday. They haven't lost a game, and they've been playing some of the same teams that GCU has. It's kind of this Grand Canyon Classic round robin thing at different sites. So that's definitely a game, and there's other ones before then, too, that will definitely raise the specter for, you know, on any given night, as they say, you know, not any given Sunday like the NFL, but any given night in college basketball, a couple guys can get hot and give you a game.
No, you're right about that. Dan had some news that I thought was pretty impactful. As the program has been built brick by brick, and I go back to Antelope Gym, and Brian Mueller walked me around when it was just a dusty patch where the arena is now and all of that. So to see it grow is interesting. I thought Casey Benson was a big brick, obviously a Pac-12 player wanting to transfer over. But they landed a recruit this last week that Dan has not gotten into before, into rarefied air. Would you talk about that a little bit, Paul?
Yeah, it's a kid named Tim Finke. He's a 6'6 guard out of Champaign, Illinois, ripping him right out of the heart of Big Ten country. In fact, his dad played for Illinois, mostly football, a little bit of basketball, and his brother is starting for Illinois basketball right now. And he was at one point rated as high as the top 25 in the country, and he slipped over a little bit in the summer. This whole thing happened amazingly fast for GCU. They basically, TJ Benson, one of the assistant coaches who grew up here in the Valley, went to Corona del Sol. He was had a friend connect them to the Finke family in September. And by November, the guy was visiting GCU and signing a letter of intent. Not just committing, he's signing a letter of intent. And that is just a huge score for the program. He's a great shooter. And he's got, if you've seen a little bit of the photos of him, we got some stories on him on GCULopes.com about Tim Finke, that he's not a string bean kid. You know, he might be 17, 18 years old, but he's already got some definition. So Dan Marley's excited about what he can develop. I think he sees a little bit of himself in the kid. You know, Midwestern kid, 6'6", can shoot it, can throw it down a little bit, has a little bit of a spunk to him. And one of the best things about Tim Finke is, you know, here's a guy who was getting recruited by, you know, he had 22 offers, you know, almost all of them Power 5 schools at one point. You know, everybody comes at you fast in the early going on the first night you call. But now he's to the point where once he visited, and, you know, like TJ Benson went up there 5 times, Marley went up there once, and he visited here and he felt great about it. And his really mature comment to me was that it didn't matter who else walked through that door. I knew I wanted to go to Grand Canyon University. Mm. And that, I thought that was a really mature approach. You know, a lot of kids would just say like, well, what if X comes through the door? You know, that might, right. You know, but he loved his family loved everything, and they pulled the trigger.
That's really good stuff. Talk with Paul Coro. Before I get you out of here, away from basketball, so the swim team is making some noise, making waves, I guess the nice way to put it. If you could get into that a little bit and what happened on campus this last week for the swim team.
Yeah, big weekend for swim. They were at the Northwest TYR Invitational, Northwestern, in Evanston, Illinois. Mm-hmm. And Mark Nikolaev, who's a junior swimmer for GCU from Russia, he became the second qualifier from the swim and dive team for the NCAA championships. Not only did he become a qualifier, but he set the best time in the nation for the 100. Wow. And it was in a split on a relay, and then he almost repeated the time within a couple tenths of a second in his individual race. But and then he broke a pool record later in his split for another relay. And he's the second one. They also had Pietro Hufnagel Toscani, who was a diver, and a few weeks back he had qualified for NCAAs too. So the swim's already making some big impacts. They've started to get some national notice in when the pollsters vote in rankings for what they're doing. And that was just, you know, it was an all-around great swim meet for the team, but Mark Nicolet especially was standing out. Like, they have A times and B times for qualifiers. He not only has the best time, but he's the only one in the A group.
Wow. Wow. And we're talking like Olympic stuff there. You have to start keeping an eye on all the sports at GCU with the Olympic Games and their improvements. So that's really good stuff. I'll let you go off that. I may see you Saturday night at the USD game. I'm going to try to get out there. So
you got some Torero connections, don't you?
Not anymore. I used to. Oh. I used to have a bunch of them, but no, I want to go out there. I have not been to a game yet, so I'm going to make some calls, and I may see you there. So,
it's been a great environment. Even during Thanksgiving break, the house has stayed full, and there's been lots of buzz in the arena still. You know, even with the Havoc's light.
Havoc's light, that's good. Stay well, thanks.
Thanks, Brad.
Always good to catch up with my friend, as he put it, Paul Coro. And I'd put it too. That's a nice tie. Can we change the font to my friend? Sports360AZ.com, we partner with the Arizona Republic. Every week we talk GCU Lopes in Talk to the Lopes. Appreciate the partnership with Grand Canyon University here on Sports360AZ.com. Thanks for checking out this podcast on Sports360AZ.com, brought to you by your Valley Hyundai dealers.